Genesis chapter 44, we're going to read from verse number 14. Genesis chapter 44, verse 14. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there. And they fell before him on the ground. And Joseph said unto them, What deed is this that ye have done? Wot ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? And Judah said, What shall we say unto my lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my lord's servants, both we, and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, God forbid that I should do so. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. And as for you, get you up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my lord's ears. And let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My lord asked his servant, saying, Have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my lord, We have a father, an old man, and a child of his old age, a little one. And his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother, and his father loveth him. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And we said unto my lord, The lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. And thou saidst unto thy servants, Except your younger brother come down with you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant my father, we told him the words of my lord. And our father said, Go again and buy us a little food. And we said, We cannot go down if our youngest brother be with us. Then we will go down. For we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, Ye know that my wife bare me two sons. And the one went out from me, and I said, Surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if ye take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my grey hairs with sorrow to the grave. Now therefore, when I come to thy servant my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up in the lad's life, it shall come to pass that when he seeth the lad is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants shall bring down the grey hairs of thy servant our father with sorrow to the grave. For thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, If I bring him not up unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? Lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father. We'll end the reading at verse 34, right at the end of the chapter. And we know that the Lord, as he always does, will bless this public reading of his own word to all of our hearts for his own name's sake. Let's turn, please, to Genesis chapter 44. You'll find the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this morning's meeting in verse 34. I've indicated in recent weeks that we're bringing messages to try and prepare our hearts for the gospel mission to show us the great need that there is. And you'll notice in verse 34 of this chapter of God's Word that Judah, one of the sons of Israel or Jacob, comes to Joseph concerning Benjamin. And he asks a solemn question. In reality, it's a prayer. And he says to Joseph, the prime minister, the sovereign man in Egypt, "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me?" I want to speak this morning upon the subject, not content to go to heaven without my family. Not content to go to heaven without my family. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Let's seek the Lord in a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today that thou wilt impress solemnly upon our hearts the burden of the Lord. We thank thee, O God, for thy word and for the encouragement and the truth of it. We pray today that thy truth will come with the anointing of thy Spirit upon it to all of our hearts. Lord, we believe that we're living in a day whenever we need to hear from the Lord. We need to have that open vision. We need, O God, to hear thy truth with the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon it. And to that end, O God, I cast myself at thy feet. Thou knowest, O God, that I am just an earthen vessel, just a jar of clay, dust of the ground. Thou knowest, Lord, my weakness, my inability. But I thank thee, Lord, that thou dost choose the foolish things of this world. And Lord, I take my place. I give myself afresh to thee. I pray for the anointing of thy Spirit. Speak, O God, to the hearts of all of thy people. Lord God, may we realize the solemn responsibility that we have to pray for our loved ones. Lord, take full control of this meeting. Glorify thy Son. Exalt the man of Calvary. And even today again, may he see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. We ask these things in his name and for his eternal glory. Amen. The last chapters, in fact, the final quarter of the book of Genesis, deals primarily with one family. That family being the family of Israel, the children of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons. And the final chapters of the book of Genesis deal largely with Jacob's 12 sons. Most of all, they deal with one of the key characters in the whole book of Genesis, a man who is a type, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is Jacob's beloved son, Joseph. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph was a beloved son. He was an honorable son. He was an honorable child, a man that experienced much affliction in his life as he went over the lost sons of Israel, as the Lord Jesus Christ did. He came unto his own, and his own esteemed him not. So much so that they cast him into a pit, and he was sold into slavery. But in that, he became the savior of the Gentile nation of Egypt. And later on in life, he had the wonderful experience of seeing the lost children, the lost sons of Israel, the sons of Jacob, coming into Egypt and being found in favor at Joseph's feet. And so Joseph, to a large degree, whenever the nations were going through a famine, he became a man that was noted for his wisdom and also for his sovereignty, and he became a savior for the sons of Jacob and also for the children of Egypt. In Genesis chapter 44, Joseph is visited again by his brethren in Egypt. And it's a very noteworthy thing to understand that the children of Israel at the end of the book of Genesis went into the nation of Egypt as a family, and then at the beginning of the book of Exodus they come out of the nation of Egypt as a nation, the nation of Israel. Now, to give the background to the verse that we're considering in Genesis chapter 44, it's important that we mention something of what has happened in the previous chapters. Genesis chapter 42, Jacob, sends his 10 sons to go down into Egypt because he has heard that in the midst of the famine there is bread and there is corn to be found in Egypt. And so the 10 sons go. They find Joseph, who they do not recognize. Joseph accuses them of being spies and keeps one of the sons back, a son by the name of Simeon. He asks the children of Israel, "Have you got a father? Have you got any other brothers?" Thinking in his own mind about Benjamin. And so in Genesis chapter 43, the children of Israel are found back in Jacob's house. They relate the whole story, how they were accused of being spies, how Simeon has been left in Egypt under the care of Joseph as a bondman, as a prisoner, and they tell their father all about what has happened in Egypt. They tell him that there's no more corn, and Simeon will never be released unless the youngest son, Benjamin, is brought into Egypt. One of the older sons, Judah, says he personally will take responsibility for Benjamin. If anything happens, he will be held accountable. And so in chapter 44, we read again that the children of Israel were sent again into Egypt to buy corn, this time taking Benjamin, the youngest son, with them. And as they're leaving Egypt with their corn, with their sacks, with their bags, one of Joseph's servants follows hard after them and stops them. Says that something has been taken from the house of Joseph, a silver cup. They're all confused. They throw up their hands and they begin to search and open their sacks. And the search is made until at last the silver cup is found in Benjamin's sack. Everybody's terrified. Because by their own admission in verse number 9 of chapter 44... the brethren have said, "With whomsoever thy servants it be found, let him die." Not thinking that the cup ultimately would be found in Benjamin's sack. And so the Benjamin is taken away and the rest of the family go back into Egypt for the third time. Judah runs up to Joseph and he begins to plead for the lad's life. Joseph says, "Well, essentially, this has nothing to do with you. You're free to go back to your father with your brethren. I'm just interested in Joseph." And you can picture the scene. Here's a man that has taken responsibility for Benjamin. Here's a man that knows the heart of his father for this beloved son, the youngest son in the family, the only earthly true brother of Joseph, born to the same mother. And Judah's heart is breaking. And he stands before the prime minister of Egypt and he utters these words, "Master, how shall I go up to my father?" And the lad be not with me. "Master, with all due respect, I thank you for providing for all of my need. I thank you for filling this corn, this corn sack with corn. I thank you for setting me free and allowing me to go back to my father's house in perfect liberty. But with all due respect, there's a lad here and I love him. And there's a lad here and I feel essentially responsible for him. And I can't go back to my father's house without this boy." Maybe you're a Christian father or a Christian mother and in a sense you feel a lot like Judah. You're saved. You've been set free. You've been set at perfect liberty. God has provided for all of your needs. Oh, but there's a lad in your family. There's a son there that's not saved. There's a daughter there that's outside of Christ. There's a brother. And there's a sister. And it's like you're coming before the Lord and you're saying, "Lord, I thank you for everything that you've done for me. I know that in my father's house there are many mansions and you've prepared a place for me. And I'm going up to my father's house with a great bounty that you've given me. And I don't despise that. I thank you for it. But Lord, but Master, listen. There's a lad here. And he's young. And he's lost. and he's condemned already. Master, how can I go up to my father? The lad be not with me. Lord, I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but Lord, I'm not content to go alone. Lord, I'd love you just to bring the family circle in as well. And Lord, I want you to see if my boy. Lord, I want you to see if my son. Can't bear the thought of going to heaven without my children. Can't bear the thought of going up to my father's house without my family. Without my father, without my mother, whoever it is in the family. Lord, I can't leave them behind. Lord, I don't want the circle to be broken in the glory. I'm not content, Lord, to go to heaven alone. I just want to say some simple things this morning about this man, Judah. First of all, I want to say that Judah recognizes his accountability. Judah recognizes his accountability. You see, Judah took upon it, upon himself, that he would become surety for the lad. Oh, Dad, don't worry. Nothing will happen to Benjamin. I'll take full responsibility for him. Commit him to my care and to my keeping. Master, you can trust me. Father, you can trust me with the boy. I will look after him. Verse 32, thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. You see, Judah recognizes his legal responsibility. To Joseph, to Jacob, to himself, and also to Benjamin. And Christian father, Christian mother in this meeting, let us remind ourselves, being a father myself, of our legal responsibility under heaven towards our children. You see, you have got an obligation to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 7, to paraphrase that verse, it says that this law, this word that God has given to you, thou shalt teach it diligently unto thy children. Whenever you sit in your house, talk of the law of God. Whenever you leave the house, remember the law of God. Whenever you get up in the morning, remember the law of God. Whenever you go to bed at night, remember the law of God. Bring your family around the old book and teach these things diligently unto your children. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Fathers are to nurture their children in the fear and in the admonition of the Lord. Parents, tonight, our children need a Savior. Our children are lost, some of them. They're condemned already. They're in the world. And we have a legal accountability to reach them. We're accountable. An accountability to our children. What are we doing to reach our children for Christ? To get them up into the Father's house. You know, I thank God for children's meetings and for Sunday schools. But folks, quite frankly, to send children to Sunday school for 45 minutes or for 1 hour once in the week is not enough to reach them for Christ. I meet Christian parents and they'll say, well, you know what, my children were sent to Sunday school. And they're like Pilate and they wash their hands and say, that's enough. But folks, what about the home? What about the family altar? Father, today, has your son, your daughter ever heard you praying audibly for their souls? Mother, today, have your children ever had the experience of sitting on your knee with an open Bible? Is there a family altar in your home? You see, Judah has a responsibility to Benjamin. He also has a responsibility to himself, because Judah, by this stage in his life, has become a man of integrity. He has made certain vows. He has vowed to Jacob, he has vowed to himself, and he has vowed to God that he's going to look after Benjamin. And the word of God says, better that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Be careful not to utter anything hasty under heaven, because God's going to hold us accountable for every vow that we have made. And Judah's a man of integrity. He knows that I've made a promise, yes, to my father, yes, concerning Benjamin, but I've also made a promise to myself that I am going to look after this boy, and therefore, as far as I am concerned, I am legally accountable for Benjamin. I wonder, is there somebody here today that maybe stood at the front of a church with a little infant in their hand and promised before a congregation, promised to themselves and promised before God, that they would bring up that child in the fear and admonition of the Lord? And your children were dedicated or baptized or christened, whatever it was. But you haven't fulfilled your vows. And today your children are in the world. Jude also feels a sense of obligation towards God. Children, you see, the Bible says in Psalm 127, are an heritage of the Lord. And Judah's father has entrusted him with the care of Benjamin. And God in heaven today has entrusted us with families. God has given to us the care of sons, of daughters, of brothers, of sisters. And like Paul, we have to say, if we're saved, that I am a debtor. I didn't deserve to be saved, but nevertheless the Lord has saved me, and therefore under heaven I have a legal responsibility to reach the unreached for Christ, and especially above every other thing to reach my family for Christ. God has entrusted us with this treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels. What are we doing with it? In about a month's time, will be in our gospel mission another opportunity to come before the Lord and say, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Because Judah recognizes his legal accountability. Judah also feels the weight of his responsibility. And by that word responsibility, I mean a responsibility that lies upon his heart as a burden that he cannot get rid of, save in the place of prayer. There's a burden upon Judah's soul. How can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? It's as if he's saying, yes, master, I could go up to my father, but at the same time, I can't. I can't leave Egypt knowing that this boy, this lad, is condemned to be a bondman and ultimately to face a death as a criminal. I can't leave him like this. Yes, I want to go up to my father's house, but I have this weight upon me, a weight of responsibility, and my heart is breaking for this lad. Master, he's just a boy. Master, he's just a lad. And I know that in the eyes of the law he's guilty, but master, I can't go up to my father's house empty-handed. I can't go and knock on my father's door and barge my way into his house. And the first thing he's going to say is, where's Benjamin? And my father loves this boy. And master, I love this boy as well. Master, with all due respect, I'm not leaving without him. Master, with all due respect, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Master, I can't leave this boy in Egypt. And maybe today that's Christian father, Christian mother, how you feel. You've got a loved one. You say, master, I can't leave this scene of time with my boy, with this lad in the world, condemned to die. be lost forever. Master, I just can't do that. I've got a burden. I feel the weight of my responsibility. And Judah stands before Joseph and his heart is rent asunder. His heart is broken because the lad is lost. And maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you're the Benjamin. And you don't see what goes on in your father or mother's heart. In the prayer closet or in the prayer meeting. And you're in the world and you're condemned and you're lost and you're in Egypt. And before the master, your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, that loved one is pleading with their master, pleading with the Lord, and saying, Lord, will you save them? Lord, will you give me back my son? He's lost. Lord, will you give me back my daughter? She's away from God. She's in the world. And the world will ruin her. It'll wreck her life. There's a devil out there and he's going to destroy my family. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done for me, but I just can't go to heaven. Leave my children in the world. And a father or a mother's heart is breaking. And essentially, Judah's saying, listen, all I want is my Benjamin. All I want, Lord, is this lad. I'm not asking for wealth or for fame. I'm not asking for anything fancy. I'm just saying, Master, will you just give me back the boy? Let me go up to my father's house because I feel an accountability. I feel a responsibility. And he says in verse 33, he says, let the lad go up with his brethren. You've set us all free. The family's been set free. You've provided for us. And we don't despise that. And we're so thankful. You didn't need to do that, but there's just one, and he's not ready. He's not saved. Master, I'm just asking you, will you just give me this one? Just this one lad. I can't leave him behind in the world. And then he says, at the beginning of verse 33, he says, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. Verse 32, he says, thy servant became a surety to my father. And then he says in verse 31, even before that, leading up to this, he says, it shall come to pass when my father seeth that the lad is not with us that he will die. I'm going to go up to my father and I'm going to tell him that I failed in my responsibility. And I made vows and I made promises and I didn't keep them. And the lad, he's in the world. And you know, it's going to break my father's heart. And beloved, today I believe in a God in heaven who is deeply concerned about the families of his children. You see, I believe in a covenant-keeping God. I believe in a God that promises to bless his people and also their families. This was the promise that was given to Abraham. I will bless thy seed and thy seed's seed. And I just wonder today, is there a father in heaven and his heart is heavy for our children, more concerned about our families than we are ourselves? And Judah recognizes this weight of responsibility, this burden. If I leave the boy in Egypt, he's going to die in Egypt. And he'll never be in the father's house. And blessed Lord Jesus Christ, I know that if my family stay in the world, they'll die in the world. And they'll never be in God's heaven. And blessed Lord, that breaks my heart. Lord, will you just give me this lad? Judah recognizes his legal accountability. He feels the weight of his responsibility. But you'll also notice that Judah appears to be acutely aware of his own inability. His own inability. You see, there's a sense in which the whole situation now is out of Judah's hands. He watched with disbelief and with brokenness as this servant of Joseph's came and began one by one to open the sacks. Then he looked around and he reached into Benjamin's sack and he lifted out the cup, and Judah's heart just breaks and his hands fall by his side. And he said, I can't do anything. This is beyond my control. This situation is entirely out of my hands. Joseph is sovereign in Egypt. He's the prime minister. This is the law that he has given. It's written down. It's been given. It's been passed. Benjamin's caught red-handed. I can't do anything. This situation is out of my hands. I can't offer Joseph anything. We're broken ourselves. We don't even have corn. He's the man that has a bounty in Egypt. We've got absolutely nothing to offer him. We've got nothing to bargain with. Do you ever feel like that, Christian? You look at that loved one, that friend, that neighbor, that family member, they're outside of Christ, and you can't save them. I can't save them. And we've nothing, in a sense, to offer the Lord for them. And he is the one that is rich beyond all measure. And we come as beggars, and we just feel that the situation is out of our hands. Our family are in the world, and according to the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ, condemned already. And whenever the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 15:5, without me you can do nothing, that strikes a chord in our hearts. We say, yes, Lord, I'm acutely aware of my own inability. I can't get my children out of the world. I can't set them free. I can't release them from this penalty of death. Lord, I'm acutely aware of my own inability, but what Judah did not realize was that this man that he stood before, this prime minister in Egypt, loved Benjamin much more than even Judah did. And folks, whenever we come before the Lord and we're acutely aware of our own inability and our families are lost, we have this one thing that we can be absolutely sure of, that we have a Savior who is deeply concerned about the individual. We have a Savior that loves our Benjamins. We have a Savior who is sovereign. We have a God who loves the sinner. We have a God like Joseph who is sovereign, a God who is in control, a God that knows what he is doing, a God that will do what is right, a God that is all sovereign, almighty, all powerful, a God who is in authority, in a sense, just like Joseph in Egypt. And Judah sees this. I can't do anything for the lad. I'm acutely aware of my own inability. But in the light of who this man is, Judah gives himself to prayerful importunity. You see, from verse 18 down to verse 34, essentially what this is, it's a prayer. Here's a man that recognizes there's a great need. Family member that's lost, a family member that's in the world. He feels his legal accountability. He feels the weight of his responsibility. He's acutely aware of his inability, but he gives himself to prayerful importunity. And he comes before this sovereign in Egypt, recognizing that if there's one man that is able to set Benjamin free, it's this man. And friends, today the Bible says, John 8:36, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And friends, today in the glory, at the right hand of the Majesty on high, while our families, our children, our loved ones perhaps are lost, they're condemned already, they're in the world, friends, there's one in the glory that is able to set people free. And Judah recognizes this. Yes, I have no ability to save them, but that is all the more reason to give myself to prayer. How can I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? He's supplicating, he's interceding, he's praying. And folks, this is the kind of praying that we need. How can I go to my father's house without my family? You see, Judah is casting himself here upon the mercy and the grace and the power of Joseph. He recognizes, I can't do very much here. I can't release the boy, but here's one who can. You know, recently I was talking to a mother, and she was lamenting the fact that her family were far, far, far from the Lord. And she says, you know what? I sent them to Sunday school. What more could I have done? And I said to her, well, do you go to the prayer meeting? No. Well, with all due respect, you could be found in the place of prayer, praying for your family. No point asking God why. No point pointing the finger at heaven and saying, well, I sent them to Sunday school and God didn't save them. Judah recognizes I can plead for them. Judah recognizes he can pray. Do you remember Lot? I call him the prodigal father. Took his children into the world. And then whenever he was awakened to the danger that they were in, he ran to them and he played with them. And they just looked at him and says, you're having a laugh, aren't you, Lot? You expect us to believe that we're in any sort of danger whenever you live the same way that we do? Do you remember Eli? Old Uncle Eli, the Levitical priest, had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, both brought up in the church, but lived in sin, lived in adultery, lived in sacrilege, lived in fornication, and we read in the book of 1 Samuel that Eli went to his sons and he very lightly rebuked them, didn't want to offend them, didn't want to drive them away. But the reality is that they were already lost. They were lost in the church. And here's a man, Judah. And he seems to have a spirit like unto that of his father Jacob. You see, in Genesis chapter 32, 26, we read about Jacob in the place of prayer. And he wrestled with the Lord, and he said to the Lord, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And Judah is employing the same principle now in Egypt before Joseph. Because undoubtedly he has heard the story of that day whenever his father wrestled with God and prevailed with God and got what he wanted from God. And he's heard the story. And because he has seen the heart of his father, his earthly parents, he employs the same principle whenever he is facing a need himself. He knows how to pray because he's been brought up in a home where prayer has been wont to be made. You see, there are many parents in the New Testament who came to the Lord with their children. Jairus came and sought the Lord for his daughter, and the Lord answered prayer. Another man came and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And while they were acutely aware of their own inability, they employed prayerful opportunity, and they said, I'm not going to let the Lord go until he answers prayer. And I know it's difficult having children to get to prayer meetings. Need to be put to bed and so on and so forth. And that's why coming up to this gospel mission, one of the reasons why that we have organized so many times of prayer. Tuesday nights, Thursday mornings, Friday nights, Sunday mornings, before our church services. All day this afternoon. And Christian father, Christian mother, I would suggest lovingly and graciously that it would be good for you, better for your children, to get out to at least one prayer meeting, if at all possible, during the week. If you have to nip home early, that's fine. If you have to come a little bit later, that's okay. But just to get before the Lord and say, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Judah, not content to go up to his father's house alone, recognizes his legal accountability, feels the weight of his responsibility, is acutely aware of his inability, gives himself to prayerful opportunity. But lastly, and in closing, you'll notice that Judah's earnest is an evident reality. Verse 33, now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my Lord. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, Prime Minister in Egypt, if it's at all possible, let Benjamin go home. I'll stay behind. I'll take the blame. I'll do whatever you want me to do if you let the lad go free. Self-sacrifice. Consecration to a purpose. An earnest, a burden, and it's an evident reality. You see, he's saying this, I will give you my life unreservedly, Master. But let the lad go free. In other words, I'm willing to pay the price, whatever that price would be. But just let the boy go free. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 9:3, concerning his brethren, his kinsmen according to the flesh, just as Judah's doing concerning his brethren, he said, I could wish, if it was possible, I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. In other words, if I could trade places with them, if I could let them have my place in heaven and my place in the kingdom, he says, I would be willing to do that. Now, I have never experienced a burden like that. And I would probably believe that very few people have. But I remember years ago hearing about a Moravian missionary who heard about a group of islands in the Indian Ocean that had been unreached with the gospel of Christ. It was a slave colony under the British Empire. Slave trade was at its height. This Moravian missionary began to think about that group of islands, multitudes of people lost. How would he reach them? So he sat down, he began to do his homework. He inquired, how do you get onto this island? Can you get on? Can you get off again? Can you go for a period of time? The answer came back, the only way you can get onto that island is to sign up yourself as a slave. And you'll never be set free. It's suicide. This old German Moravian sat down and began to think, what would it cost me to reach those people? Am I willing to give myself a bond slave for the rest of my life? That I might at least be able to witness to these dear people. And so after a period of time spent in prayer, that man waved goodbye to his father and mother. Said goodbye to his family. And as he boarded a ship that began to make its way to that island, the last recorded words that that man was ever heard to speak in the civilized world, may the Lamb, in the midst of the throne, receive all the glory due his sacrifice on Calvary's cross. For me to live is Christ. But to die is gain. Master in Egypt, I'll pay the price. But let the boy go free. Folks, there's a cost involved in experiencing God's blessing in a family, in a church, in a community, in a nation. And perhaps we look at our families and say, you know, I would love to see them saved. But I don't know if I can afford to really give myself unreservedly to the Lord and to this kind of praying. Be nice to have them saved. Be nice to have them walking with the Lord. But I just don't know if I want to go as far as that. But may God give us a spirit like Judah. How shall I go up to my father? The lad's not with me. Let's just pray together and seek the Lord. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we ascend. In a sense, O God, feel at a loss at the end of this meeting. Lord God, we think about our families. That son, that daughter, that brother, that sister, that father, that mother, that loved one. Lord, they're in the world. Lord, they're not saved. Master, they're condemned. Under God, we would each have individuals on our mind at this present moment in time, the dying moments of this meeting. And Lord, we would solemnly say, how can I go up to my father, the lad not with me? Lord, save our families. Set them free. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen. 604. We'll stand together as we sing the hymn. 604, during the first verse, I'll go to the door, and if you're not staying for the Lord's table, I'll meet you there, and then we'll come back in just after that. 604, standing together as we worship the Lord. 604.